we have religious people who say when they get a dream or if they really want to marry someone, they and the prophet says, God said I should marry this one, then we should not look at the age of consent.
If someone falls pregnant before the age of consent, then no marriage can take place because it will be illegal.
Sexual crimes that go unchecked because of tradition and culture, where a girl is actually taken advantage of.
Good day, Africa, and welcome to Africa Gender Indaba with Derek Mazarura on Channel Africa, the African perspective on Africa Gender Indaba. Every week, we discuss issues about gender equality and human rights mainly. Our aim is to engage men and boys in such conversations so that women, girls, boys, and men can enjoy a healthy and equitable life in Africa. Our main focus last week was human rights and peacekeeping missions in Ghana. We also touched on other countries in Africa, particularly countries close to Ghana, with regards to levels of focus on human rights and peace in those countries. Looking at some of the episodes we have done in the past, it is shocking how much the law in different African countries does not take women reporting cases of violence seriously, and even worse, how some men boast about how they have bribed law enforcers. That's not the Africa we want. African men and boys, we must change our attitudes towards our women and girl children. Can you tell whether an adolescent is fit enough physically or mentally to make important decisions concerning key things in their lives? At what age can a child consent to sex is the question we want to answer on the show today. In most African countries, the age consent is either 16 or 18, but the lowest is open-ended. Due to marriage laws in Botswana, Senegal, and Namibia, a child can consent to sex from the age of 16 years, and in countries like Kenya, Tanzania, and Rwanda, the age of consent is 18 years. What is the case with Zimbabwe, especially now? What is the age, and has it been hard or easy to agree on the right age? What do parents have to say about such decisions, and where do religious organizations stand when it comes to that issue, and what is your opinion? Those are some of the questions that we're going to tackle today on Africa Gender Indaba. We cannot do justice to this particular matter without your help. Our dear listener, your involvement in this matter is very key. If you feel you want to add something to this conversation, please feel free to contact me on WhatsApp. You can do that by sending me a text or by calling me. My number is +2768295270, +2768295270. You can also send us a tweet about topics we've discussed before or any other related topic you might like us to talk about on the show. We are open to hearing your views. Our Twitter handle is at Channel Africa 1. On Facebook, we are Channel Africa. Also, you can reach out to us on our website, which is www.channelafrica.co.za. And joining us this hour on Africa Gender Indaba to discuss the age of consent for sexual relations in Zimbabwe is Kumirai Kahia, a team leader at Girls and Women Empowerment Network. And then we'll also speak with Walter Vengesai from Padare in Zimbabwe. Also part of this conversation is Hazel Shamiso Denere from Young Women Christian Association Zimbabwe. And then we'll also speak with Paul Karis Juru from Inirela, Zimbabwe. Thank you for joining us. Let's take a short break. We'll be back in a moment.
Have you ever asked yourself, what on earth am I here for?
When God placed his image in us, he placed a sense of eternity within us.
What is my purpose in life?
I was made for greatness. I just don't know what it is yet, but I was made for greatness.
Life by Design explores the journey of people from around the continent who live a life of purpose. They share their experience on how they discovered what they were meant to do. Join me, Amanda Machaga, every Monday at 8:05 Central African Time for your weekly dose of Monday motivation, only on Channel Africa, the African perspective.
Life by Design. Be the architect of your life.
Welcome back, and let's get started by first hearing a story on substance abuse. We did an episode on rehabilitation services in Africa a few weeks back, and we had a real life story on drug abuse on that episode. And we have another young man who decided to share with us their own story. Please take a listen.
Hello, my name is Tapiwa. I'm a victim of substance abuse. I took drugs including crystal meth, bronchial, cannabis, ket, ecstasy. It all started when I was in university. Yeah, I used crystal for reading, but then it became an addiction because we also used it for partying, like the weekends at university. So with it comes a lot of consequences. I dropped out of my university during my third year due to crystal meth and other substance abuse. Right now, I might say I've been using those drugs for the past 7 years till Mbatrapa came through and helped me. I'm a recovering addict now. This is my final week at Mbatrapa. My advice to my fellow ghetto youths, because the ghetto youths are the most targeted with these drugs, is to stay away from drugs.
Thank you. And to start our conversation, Lucy Rumbizai Chivasa, a human rights lawyer and women's rights activist in Zimbabwe, will talk to us about age of consent for sexual relations in relation to rural areas, young girls' psychology, the law, and also career building programs. Here's Lucy.
I think the women and girls who are in the rural areas, or the majority of women and girls, even those who stay in towns or growth points, they are not really aware of the issue of the age of sexual consent, because for the longest of time, the age of sexual consent and the age of marriage has not been the same. So we had an act that allowed 16-year-olds to be married with the consent of the parents or the consent of the minister. And that position changed with the 2013 constitution. So really, there hasn't been much constitutional awareness to say this position has changed. And also for the courts, they had to wait for a constitutional court challenge that outlawed the Marriages Act, which is the legislation that allowed children who are 16 to get married. So on the other hand, we had a law that said someone who's 16 can consent to sexual acts. And then the other one, the constitution then saying you can't marry someone who's 16. So there was a discord in that regard. And when that changed, there wasn't much constitutional awareness to let the people know. So people really don't get the change, because when laws change, we're supposed to have human rights education so that people know the position of the law. And then the fact that people have different cultures and different religions that allow for girls who are young to get married, they really don't know. Some of them do it out of ignorance because they are practicing what they think is right, and they are practicing what they think is religiously okay with them, or it's culturally fine. So there is that discord that people don't really get it and they don't understand. And no one is, in as much as there have been so many campaigns to end child marriages, in particular in Zimbabwe, the explanation or the depth of why and what age and who's supposed to be doing this, I feel like the technicalities are not really addressed to the general public. So young girls really don't focus on the age when it comes to sexual relationships because, one, poverty. If people are poor and they choose to marry off their children, they look at riches, they look at the connections. For example, in the religious relationships, mostly if your child wants to be married to the leader's son, or if they're going to get married to someone who's rich, they really look at consent. So poverty is also one of the major drivers that makes young girls not to look at the issue of age when they consent to sexual relationships. And also another thing, that education has become so expensive, especially in Zimbabwe, with so many families struggling to pay for exam fees for the candidates. So if your child is going to school and you don't afford, then the next thing someone wants to marry them. Both the families and the girls, they do not look at the issue of age of consent. They just go ahead and get married. So it's also closely linked to poverty, where people don't prioritize sending the girl child to school. And there are also issues of religious beliefs. We have religious people who say when they get a dream, or if they really want to marry someone, and the prophet says, God said I should marry this one, then we should not look at the age of consent because God has spoken already. So it's about the economy, it's about the religion, and it's also about the greediness of the parents. So really, young girls do not have a say in consenting. Mostly it's a deal that's done above board. It's even for majors, issues of lobola, it's a negotiation between the man who wants to marry and the man from the bride's family. At the moment, there are organizations that focus on career guidance and also just building confidence of young girls in the rural areas and in towns. But these are not really spread throughout the country. Some areas do not have such activities, and those that have are the ones that already have the privilege of going to school. So I feel like there should be programs that target children who are no longer in school but not yet married, perhaps maybe to inspire them to go back to school and also pursue their careers. And also, being someone who grew up going to school from primary to secondary in a rural area, I never had an opportunity to attend any career guidance, but it was just from interacting with other people and having the privilege of exposure to news and to the television, that we got to know about certain careers. So it's really important that organizations and corporates engage in inspiring young girls to go to school and to also just choose which career path to go, and also to engage the parents to treat their children equally. I think the major gap within the law is the implementation, because we do have some very good laws. Like before we even had the new constitution that came into 2013 here in Zimbabwe, the law was clear in the Domestic Violence Act to say whoever participates in a child marriage ceremony have committed an offense under the Domestic Violence Act.
Thank you, Lucy. And to go into our key points, Kumbi, what is the age of consent of sexual relations in Zimbabwe? And how does that advantage or disadvantage young women? And which factors are leading to age of consent to be a matter of concern in this day and age?
So before there's a recent ruling, constitutional court ruling, that says the age of sexual consent to 18 years, which is a welcome move. But whilst this is a court ruling, it's just a declaration. It's not yet backed by law. So what is currently at law is was what was in the Marriages Act, which stated that the age of consent was 16 years of age. And the 16 years of age, from my perspective, violated girls and boys below the age of 18, in that they were exploited for sex. But at law, they are not supposed to be married, because our constitution and clearly states out that no one below the age of 18 should be married. So the girls were only being exploited for sex, boys were only being exploited for sex. But the disadvantage with the girl child is exploitation, where they fall pregnant and then they cannot marry or commit to the person responsible for the pregnancy. So yes, pregnancy is not a factor to determine whether someone should marry or not. But the biggest concern was on saying these girls have become mothers at a very young age, where they are still minors, they cannot make decisions, and they are now pregnant. They are supposed to take motherly roles and be responsible mothers, yet they are children by law because they are below the age of 18. So it was making young, especially girls, sexual adults, yet they were emotionally, mentally, physically children. So yes, this current move to say age of sexual consent is now 18 is a welcome move. We cannot wait for the fast tracking of ensuring that that court ruling becomes law. So whilst we applaud and I feel it's an advantage, because girls will no longer be sexually exploited, or even young women will no longer be sexually exploited, the disadvantage, however, is that we have children in the ranges of 14, 15, 16 engaging in sexual activities. They are sexual beings. They are minors, but they are engaging in sexual activities. So I do not want to say by choice, because I feel they are not yet mature enough to make critical life decisions. But yes, they can engage in sex. So the disadvantage is that we may have engagements between minors, or between our children between 16, 17 having sex, and that at law would then be criminalized. So it will really make it difficult to then come to consensus with the young people to then say what is their position, because they are already engaging at a very younger age. And some of them, yes, they are being exploited. But the discussion really is just saying, how do we ensure that our children understand what is at law, and that the law is intended to protect them, yet they are sexual beings who would want to explore themselves? Consent is an issue of focus in this day and age, because a lot of girls, especially the girl child, were being violated and exploited. I cannot deny the fact that there are boys who are being exploited. The disadvantage with the girl child is highly likely they fall pregnant, highly likely they are exploited and violated and catch STIs, get infected HIV. Many times when parents in our cultural setup know that their children are engaging or have engaged in a sexual encounter, they have a tendency of telling the girl child to go to the man who is responsible for the encounter. And that already is so set up as a union, and they are forced into unions. So we need to ensure that we protect the girls, because many men and perpetrators were taking advantage of our girls, exploiting them and dumping them. So if people know that they cannot engage in sexual activities with minors, they stay away from minors, and we protect our minor girls and boys to ensure that they are not exploited and used for sex and dumped. Many times girls would then have to drop out of school, would then have to be chased out of their parents' homes. So there are a lot of issues really that came with girls being said to consent at 16.
Thank you, Kumbi. And Mr. Juru, do you think girls in the rural areas are aware of issues of age of consent? And why are women focusing less on age of consent? young women, that is.
A few enlightened professionals in the rural areas, that is women and girls, may know, especially those, that is the NGOs and those who are also working as teachers and nurses and the police, and in some other developmental aspects, they may be knowing of the age of consent whilst they are in the rural areas. But however, the level of awareness is still limited, as most of the rural areas are not accessible to information easily, and hence the women and girls lag behind in terms of their that knowledge levels. A lot of advocacy is required to challenge the status quo and navigate through the norms and myths that violate the issue of consent. There are a lot of cultural issues, hindrances and limitations, and there are some religious persuasions which do work against these women. They are actually, you know, devoid of information in most cases. Those who are actually in some other belief systems, they are not concerned about the age of consent, and they simply think that by the time they have, you know, some breasts, it's time for them to engage in intercourse or what have you. And this is actually whereby they are manipulated by culture and also by religion. Young girls are forced to focus less on age when it comes to sexual relations because of a wide variety of issues, like one, the socialization process. Then religion also plays a very vital role, whereby some other religions, whenever a girl, you know, matures to be ripe enough, to be considered to be ripe enough for sex, they enter into sexual relations without any concern about their age. Culture also, we have in our Zimbabwean environment where we talk of chiramu, a girl who has just turned, you know, maybe 14, 15, 13, is actually driven into the sexual relations by their, you know, brother-in-law and what have you, and then they are not in any way concerned about the age. Chipostory, the apostolic faith, in most cases, girls can be married at a tender age in some of those, religious sectors. Early biological maturation may also cause girls to act and think beyond the scope of age. And when you see they are being driven biologically to indulge into sexual intercourse.
Great Mr. Juru and Walter, should a lower age of consent be justified by modernization and physical body changes that come as a result of modern foods?
The age of consent is there to protect our young people so that they can be in a position to make better decisions as far as issues to do with sexual intercourse is concerned. So I believe that the issue of physical body changes does not even have anything to do with how the age is supposed to be. I don't think the age of consent should be lowered, because someone may have a big body, but in terms of maturity, they may lack maturity. So I'm in support of the age of consent being at 18 years, where it's internationally accepted that one is able to make life-changing decisions, is able to make decisions on their own.
Brilliant, and thank you for that. Let's take a short break. We'll be with you in a moment with more on the topic.
Live Well is a show focused on the health of all Africans, from mental to sexual health, diseases to exercise. We discuss all things healthy and holistic African living. So let's talk, debate and motivate with Live Well, Mondays 10 a.m. CAT on Channel Africa, giving you the African perspective.
Welcome back to Africa Chena Indaba, and my name is Derek Mazara, and today we are discussing the age of consent for sexual relations in Zimbabwe with Kumiraika here, a team leader at Girls and Women Empowerment Network. And then we also speak with Walter Vengesai from Padare in Zimbabwe. Also part of this conversation is Hazel Shamiso Denere from Young Women Christian Association Zimbabwe. And then we also speak with Paul Karis Juru from Inirela, Zimbabwe. And over to you, Hazel. At what rate are girls in Zimbabwe falling pregnant, and how's the law committed to resolving such issues?
I think one of the most basic factors that you have to consider is the aspect of demography, where Zimbabwe is divided into two, that is the rural aspect of Zimbabwe and the urban one. Now, I feel that the rate at which girls actually get pregnant in the urban areas is lower than that of their rural counterparts. And this largely lies in the fact that girls in the urban areas are more privileged and equipped because they've got more access to SRH services and they've got more access to comprehensive sexuality education. So that actually keeps the rate quite low. Girls in the rural areas are prone to so many factors. One would want to consider less or non-existence of SRH services. One would want to talk about limited comprehensive sexuality education. And then there are even more tragedies that are falling on these young girls when one would want to consider sexual crimes that go unchecked because of tradition and culture, where a girl is actually taken advantage of and then it ends in one family exchanging cows with the other, yet this girl's future has been stolen. Then we also talk about the issue of early child marriages owing to cultural, traditional, and sometimes religious norms. And then there's also the issues of forced marriages. Now, this is really shocking because one would think that in the 21st century, these things do not happen. But they actually do, and it's really disturbing. So I think that probably the rate at which girls are falling pregnant in the rural areas should be somewhere above 50%, which is really tragic. And the law, I feel that they are not really doing much to curb these issues because police action, rather, in the urban areas is quite high, but it's affected by issues such as corruption. So there's a bit of a problem there, but it's actually better because probably of the movement of the civic space, activism and all that.
Thank you, Hazel. And back to you, Walter. Why are religious efforts on such issues as of age of consent likely to conflict with what the law decides?
I think most faith-based groups do not see their scriptures. They do not have an age of consent, which is also a contentious issue with some religious sects because they believe entirely in their religious texts. Take, for example, the Bible or the Quran. There's a possibility of conflict in that when someone really falls pregnant before the age of consent, most religious or faith-based organizations would want that person to get married so that the union can be blessed. But you realize that at law, if someone falls pregnant before the age of consent, then no marriage can take place because it will be illegal. Some faith organizations also, especially here in Zimbabwe, they condone the marrying of younger people in search of purity. They keep on going after more younger girls so that at least maybe they think that they can get young girls who are pure, young girls who are virgins. So I think that is bound to conflict with the law, which says that no one can consent before the age of 18, such as is the case here in Zimbabwe.
Thank you. And Hazel, how are early sexual relations affecting girls and boys mentally and physically?
Having early sexual relations affects both boys and girls. However, with the odds working against the girl child more. Now, when it comes to boys, we talk about possible contraction of sexually transmitted infections, which can develop into full-blown diseases such as AIDS. Then we also talk about the issue of dropping out of school in order to shoulder responsibility such as a fatherhood, that is in the event of pregnancy, where we see young boys having to let go of their education, having to let go of their careers in order to support and shoulder responsibilities of parenthood and fatherhood, while ironically they are still children themselves. So now we are now in a society that is really toxic, because children are trying to raise children. Children are trying to protect children whilst they need protection themselves, which is really sad. Then when it comes to the girl child, we talk about unwanted pregnancies, which actually affect girls not only physically but also mentally, because the body of a woman, really when she's still young, is not really ready biologically to shoulder the strains and the burden of pregnancy. Some of them, they end up hemorrhaging. Some of them, they end up developing complications. Some of them, they end up actually suffering miscarriages, which is really sad.
Thank you. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment with more.
Welcome to Change Your Game here on Channel Africa, the African perspective. We're coming to you from Johannesburg in South Africa. My name is Asanda Peta.
What GDF Forum is about and what an opportunity it provides specifically for the audience of Change Your Game.
At Change Your Game, we believe entrepreneurs are the key drivers of tomorrow's African innovations and essential to creating a thriving African economy.
More support, just like invest more in young creatives and entrepreneurship, but actually do it. Don't just talk about it, actually do it, you know, because there are a lot of creative minds, there are a lot of intelligent human beings in our country, so I think we should invest more in that and take it seriously, because it's a real thing.
Catch us every Friday at 900 hours Central African time with Channel Africa, the African perspective.
Welcome back to Africa Agenda Indaba with Derek Mazarura, and we are discussing the age of consent for sexual relations in Zimbabwe with Kumiraika here, team leader at Girls and Women Empowerment Network. And then we speak with Walter Vengisai from Padar in Zimbabwe. And also part of this conversation is Hazel Shamiso Denere from Young Women Christian Association Zimbabwe. And then we also speak with Paul Keris Juru from Inirela, Zimbabwe. And to close this conversation, Mr. Juru, let's look at the law, where it might be going wrong or might be lacking. What kind of law reforms need to be done?
The arms of the law should consider a lot of issues pertaining to adolescent girls and their future. One, the issue of the age of consent. We are quite happy that in Zimbabwe, the age of consent has now been increased from 16 to 18, which is also in tandem with the legal age of majority, and whereby they are actually going to be able to be married. But it is yet to be synchronized through an act of parliament. That is the harmonization. the laws should also be in a position to look at issues of child abuse, child labor. They should also be in a position to look at the abduction or kidnapping of girls, rape issues, stiffer penalties to be given. So the law plays a pivotal role in alleviating some of these problems that we are encountering within society, which make girls more and more vulnerable. We need our girls to be empowered and to be able to make decisions so that there is going to be peace, harmony, and tranquility within the women fraternity, whereby the girls feel safeguarded at any level. So the arms of the law should therefore be in a position to strengthen this resolve by society at large, to give the rights of the children, especially the girl child, their rights as children are also human rights.
Thank you, Nkumbi. What are the issues that the arm of the law should consider as it makes decisions pertaining to adolescent girls and their future?
Is when rulings are being made in regards to sexual exploitation of girls, especially in instances where the girls are found to be pregnant, the state should ensure that the people responsible should ensure they should take care of the children born out of these exploitations. And at the same time, the state should have a fund that provides for the young mothers and their children. Because the other burden that forces many girls into marriage is the responsibility that is put upon them to look after the child. At times, some of the girls' families do not even have the financial resources to provide for the child that is coming to the family on top of their own child. So there is need to ensure that the law will provide for the girl child, will provide for the child that is at times born out of the exploitation, if it gets to that. The reality is the burden that is put on the girl child to ensure that she is the virgin until the time she gets married. Girls are young people, yes, they are young, and we want them to protect the law, but we have some who are engaging in sexual activities. So there is need to ensure that communities and societies at law do not punish girls for being or for not being virgins. If it should be done, it should be done across both males and females. So at law, as these decisions are being made, the law should also acknowledge that girls, rather not girls, young women, 18 and above, are not penalized for not being virgins, because that is another thing that is forcing these girls, once they have a sexual encounter, they quickly go and cohabit or stay and beg to be married to the person responsible, because society cannot accept them to live their normal life without being a virgin, or to marry later on in life without being a virgin. So this is another burden that is forcing girls into marriage, loveless unions.
Thank you, and thank you for joining us. We've come to the end of our conversation. There is so much that needs to be done to make sure that our girls and young women are safe. Can the law make a decision that will affect your loved one negatively or positively? Do we trust the people who make the final decisions regarding the children we love so much? How can Africa get involved more in making decisions about everything that concerns African girls, young women and boys? If you have an opinion about how we can respond to any of the arising questions above, or any opinion about this discussion, please do not hesitate to send me a text or call me on WhatsApp. My number is +27 6829 5 2710, +27 6829 5 2710. Also, remember to send tweets. Our Twitter handle is at Channel Africa 1. Our Facebook is Channel Africa. You can also reach out to us on our website, which is www.channelafrica.co.za. And join me again next week, same time on Channel Africa, The African Perspective. My name is Derek Mazarura, and it's bye for now.